Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine. The temperature is 39 degrees and it's windy.
That's a lot better than it has been, because I remember when we were in the below zeros. So I'm quite happy for 39 degrees. Hallelujah. We're working our way back up. God for another day, and we have some great word this morning. We'll praise the Lord today, and I still cannot believe we are almost through the month of January. We have one more day of this month, and then we will be in a new month. Look at God, won't he do it? I'm just grateful, thankful, and blessed to be a child of God in this season. For God is so, so good. So, Mother Valerie, I just have to say, we got some word today. Can you say plagues? Can you say oops? We did it again. Oops, we did it again. Because I'm going to tell you, God does not play. He does not play. And God say, let my people go. You better take it to the bank and let his people go. Because if you don't, you're going to find out some things. So let's get started in the word. Mother Valerie, prayer this morning after I give our instructions. Again, this is Bible study. And we will be reading the Word of God. Our title song is Moving Forward by Israel Houghton and New Breed. And I thank God for the allowance of reading of that song. Again, I don't own the rights to it, but I do enjoy it. It is the theme of my life, moving forward in God's Word and moving forward in life. And I thank God for that. Have a church announcement before we open up. For those that live in my area, Reverend Willie Crawford has passed, and his funeral will be Saturday. Visitation will be Friday at 5, starting at 5 o'clock at Union Baptist Church. So if you know the Crawford family, please give them your condolences. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And he was a wonderful man of God. So please keep the Crawford family in your prayers and in your thoughts. Again, the funeral, I just got the note this morning, so I'm giving out the church announcements. Today, the funeral is going to be on Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's a celebration. It will not be gloom and doom. It's going to be a celebration of life. There is a celebration choir rehearsal on Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 if you are wanting to be a part of the choir. The visitation is going to be Friday at 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And Saturday from 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. The homecoming celebration is set Saturday at 1 p.m. Pastor McJunkins will be officiating, and Pastor Jerry Jones will be the eulogist. Who is his son-in-law, I believe. Yes, his son-in-law. So, and the service will be at Union Baptist Church at 1405 East Monroe Street. And Walker Funeral Home is in charge of the, is entrusted with the funeral services. So please keep that on your calendar. Please keep that in your mind. Wow. Again, his daughter, LaSonia, has been a very big part of my life, and I'm so grateful to call her friend. So please send your prayers and condolences to the Crawford family, and thank you so much. That is our church announcement for this morning. We are in the book of Exodus, chapter 10 through 29. Our psalm this morning is the 17th psalm, verses 8 through 15. Our proverb this morning is Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 through 23. And we are also in Matthew chapter 20. So please keep those in mind as we move forward. Thank you so much. Mother Valley, please pray us in.
Good morning, people of God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and praise you for who you are. We are grateful. We say hallelujah and thank you for another day. You did it again, Father. You woke us up. Oh, God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father God, be with that family that lost pastor. He was a pastor, so be with that family, God. Help them. Let them know that absence from the body is truly presence with the with God, with you, that he is with you. And I know if he's with you, which I believe that he is, he's happy. And God, help them with the loss. They will be sorrowful, but he's happy. And God, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Bless Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Michelle. Table Life Ministries. Help us to continue, Father, to move forward in your word. Bless your word today because it is a good word. And we just give you praise and honor and glory. And thank you again for waking us up, giving us another day to get it right. Thank you, God. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen again. I'm coming out of Exodus. Chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of heaven, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle. And you know this will be, if it's on the cattle, this will be the fifth plague. The first plague was blood. Second was frogs, flies, lice, and this would be the fifth plague, the death of the livestock. I mean, God don't play all together as we continue this, the story of the plagues. It's going to be 10, but this would be the fifth. Behold, the hand of the Lord would be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, on the sea, a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel, livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And so the Lord did this thing on the next day. And all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of the livestock of the Israelites were dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard. He did not let the people go. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourself handful of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt. And it would call balls. So this would be the sixth plague, balls that break out in sores on men and beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took the ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses scattered them toward heaven. They caused balls that break out in sores on man and beast. If you ever had a ball, you know that that's something that it hurts. I remember somebody telling me about a ball on their leg, you know, and close to the upper part of their leg. And they were just saying how hurtful that can be. And that these balls were on man and on the animals. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the balls. For the balls were on the magicians and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. And yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been seen in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now, gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail and fire down to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy that there were none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And hail struck every herb of the field, broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no mighty thundering in hell, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hell, that you may know the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. I mean, Moses, he knew that Pharaoh, when something happens, will say, well, I'm going to let you go. And then he changes his mind, and his heart is hardened. Now, the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the spent was not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. It's going to take exactly, once we continue to read the story, I know I'm getting a little bit ahead, but it's going to take 10 plagues. And the last one will be the death of the firstborn. I mean, Pharaoh's something else. Once he saw that the Lord stopped the hail and stopped the fog, the lice, the flies, he hardened his heart again. And the blood, he hardened his heart because the first plague was blood, and he wouldn't let the children go. He wouldn't. Now the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your sons and your sons' sons the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail. And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your father nor your father's father have seen since that day that they were on the earth to this day. He turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? And so Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons, our daughters, with our flocks, our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And then he said to them, the Lord have better be with you when I let you go and your little ones. Go! Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you deserve. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt, for the locusts that may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested upon all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locusts as there, nor shall there be such after them, for they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And so there remained nothing green on the trees or in the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin, only this one, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. Went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. And so Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. So Moses said, you must also give a sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let him go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. And so Moses said, you have spoken well. I'll never see your face again. I will never see face again. All in all, as the story goes, it's going to be 10 plagues. 10. And it looked like, you know, Pharaoh had to have the firstborn of his firstborn child die, and then he's going to let the children go. But he told them, get out of here. You, I don't want to see your face, and you should never see my face. Boy, the story is just, I mean, it's just God. You can't play with God. You can't. Let my people go. And when God let my people go, that's exactly what he means. Let them go so they can serve me. God is God. And who should go up against God? Like the man in the Bible told his wife, you sound like a foolish woman. You can't go up against God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor because I'm just amazed that all of these plagues, and he still.
Let us do your life lessons. Life lessons and your life example, page 30.
Lessons. Exodus 9 and 12. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. To this point in the story, Pharaoh had hardened his own heart. He did it himself. But now God hardens his heart. Willfully disobedience can reach a point of no return. Isn't that amazing? First he hardened his own heart. God did it. You can't you have to obey. It said willful disobedience can reach a point of no return. Exodus 9:16. Indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, so that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. God's name will be declared in all the earth because he's God. God rules with such a mighty hand that he even raises up adversaries in order to demonstrate his glory and might to the world. He works his wonders not only so that the unbelievers might see his power and repent and believe, but also that his own people might remember his glory, so remain loyal to him. See Exodus 10 and 12. God is just good. He's good all the time. And who would actually go up against God? Against God? I mean, you got to be crazy to go up against the one who made the heaven and the earth. Life lessons. A plan of plagues. When God freed the Israelites from slavery, he realized that he would need to convince the Pharaoh to let them go. After all, the Israelites were central to the Egyptians' economy. Well, they made the Israelites slaves so they could work. And that's what they did. They worked them. So God showed his power to Pharaoh through the plagues and struck everything the Egyptian nations relied upon. The Nile was seen as God to the Egyptians because it sustained their civilization. When God turned it to blood, he cut off their lifeline and showed that he was stronger than their main deity. God took the Nile River and turned it into blood. That was really the first plague. I mean, imagine going out to the river and all the water. I mean, it's just blood. It was real blood. Looked like even when the first plague came, they could see that there, you know, it was God. It was like God doing this. God did it. He was stronger. Okay, the frogs were thought to represent the deity of fertility. But when they invaded the Egyptians' homes and beds, those annoying, croaking creatures disgusted the people. I guess they would. I mean, a frog in your bed crawling on you? I can't imagine that, a frog in my bed. You know, I don't like frogs to begin with. I know boys do, but I don't like them little things. And if they're on me in my bed, the lice irritated them to no end. The flies not only disfigured their bodies, but ruined their plants as well. Disease destroyed their livestock, and boils turned their skin. Woo, they had boils, hail, and locusts. The remainder of their animals finished off their crops. The plague of darkness showed that the Egyptians' sun deity, Ra, was completely powerless before the one true God. God is the one true God. And you can imagine, the darkness in the land was so dark that all they could do was sit still. They say they didn't move around. They did not move around. Probably couldn't even see. You know, right now, it gets dark at night around about 5:30. It gets dark outside. We experience that. And you can imagine, with no street lights, they said the people just sit still. It was so dark. It was so dark, probably they couldn't even see one another. It said, finally, the death of the firstborn in every Egyptian's household showed that their hope was completely cut off. You know, if your firstborn baby, if you only have one child, you only have that one child, and that's considered your firstborn, and the death of that one child, throughout all the land of Egypt, firstborn children were dying. Oh, you can imagine the weeping and the crying and the moaning and groaning. Everybody's firstborn in the land of Egypt, that's a lot of children. And they all died. The death of the firstborn in every Egyptian's household showed that their hope was completely cut off. There was nothing the Egyptians could do to help themselves against the Almighty God of Israel. Everything they knew was ruined. Yeah, well, you can't fight God. It's a foolish... Job told his wife, woman, you sound like you're foolish. You sound like a foolish person. The Lord give and the Lord take it away. She said, curse your God and die. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what we go through, regardless of what we go through, we have to cling to God. We have to hold on to God because God is our hope. God is our salvation. God is the only one that we can turn to. Don't go to the phone. Go to the throne. Ask God. God is love and kindness and mercy, and he'll give that. He said everything they knew was ruined. What was the result? Exodus 12 tells us that the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. Leave. Go. Now the children of Israel asked from the Egyptians article of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. Well, they had worked as slaves, and they wasn't going. God told them what to do. You're not going out empty-handed. And they wanted these people to go so bad that when the Israelites asked for these articles, they said, take it. Just take it and leave. Get out. I mean, they were so sad about their own children, the firstborn. They took articles of silver, gold, and clothing. The Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. Well, they should have because they had worked for them as slaves for so long without pay. They were beaten. They were mistreated. So they should have went out with something. Not only did the Egyptians ask them to leave, but they also gave the Israelites their possessions. We may not understand what God is doing in a given situation, but we can always trust his plan. You know, that's what the young people were singing, trust the Lord, trust, 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 trust. And Pastor Bridget was teaching, trust. We have to trust. We have to trust God. We have to. He's Father. He's Father. And it's just like if you have a young child, and this is your baby, and the baby is in the wonder, and you say, baby, baby, son, just jump. Mama or daddy will catch you. Jump. That baby will look at you, and the baby will leap. It will jump. The baby trusts the mother and father and jumps right out the wonder, thinking, well, you know, they're going to catch me. Well, God wants us to trust him just like a child because we are children of the Most High God, and he wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him. Just trust him because God is in us, he's with us, and he tells us 365 times a year, every day, don't be afraid, little children. I'm with you. Stand still. I'll fight your battle. See the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Trust him.
That's right.
It says we may not understand what God is doing, but we need to trust his plan. He knows exactly what to do to deliver us from our bondage. We have to trust him. We have to. We really have to trust God. We have to. Mm-hmm. We don't, that's the word says, we don't understand all the time what God is doing, and we don't. But God knows the beginning. He knows the beginning, and he knows the ending. And what God has for you is for you. We have to trust him. Trust him. Trust God. Trust God. Woof! Trust him. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Trust God. God didn't play. You know, they worshiped Ra, the sun god. You know, it was Ra, and they bowed down to Ra because they was worshiping the sun, not understanding that God put the sun in the sky. God put the moon in the sky. God did it all. And when God took all that light, they realized darkness is no joke. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. Dark,
my Lord.
Dark, dark. No sun, no moon, no light. Dark, as they call it, pitch dark. And there's nothing spookier than pitch darkness. It's creepy. And we know how it felt just being in the fog last week. And one night it was just so dark and foggy that it was creepy. It was last Wednesday, I believe. It was just weird. It was a weird, creepy night. And so just imagine that, not even fog, just dark, thick darkness. You know, I would have been telling the children of Israel when they sent the frogs, y'all ain't got to go, but y'all got to get out of here. And then when you come talking about lice and flies, here's everything. Goodbye. You know, you didn't have to send hell. You didn't have to send darkness. You didn't have to kill the firstborn. When them flies hit, that would have been it for me. Locusts actually would have been it for me. But still, I was like, all them plagues, and then don't talk about some boils on your body. Because you know how boils are. I never had one, praise the Lord. But I've heard about them, and they are horrible. People don't understand. We better understand God does not play. When he say move, you better move. And pray, Lord, don't send no bugs to my house because I'm disobedient. I'm doing it, God. I would do it. The first little fly is I'm out. I don't do flies at all. But anyway, let's get into our word this morning. Mother Valerie, thank you so much. What a great word this morning. Excuse me, y'all. If you know, the more you sleep, the tireder you are.
I had a great night's sleep last night. I think I was in bed by 8 and knocked out until this morning. And the only thing woke me up was God. And that was early, mm-hmm. early this morning. And then mm-hmm. I went into prayer. So I'm thankful because, again, we are all chosen for a purpose and a reason. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we are in the 17th psalm for those that are just joining us. We're in the 17th psalm, verses 8 through 15. And it
Amen.
Says, you keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Praise God. From the wicked who oppress me, from the deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, Lord. Run him. Cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with their sword, with their hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Ooh, what a word. And when we go back to verse number 8, of this 17th psalm, it says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me
Amen.
Under the shadow of your wings. God delights in all those who place their trust in him. He considers each one the apple of his eye, the object of his special devotion. They find both protection and shelter in his loving presence. Psalm 17 and 15, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. We look
Amen.
Forward to the great day, and we will see Jesus as he is when we will be transformed into his glorious image. 1 John 3 and 2, it will be like waking from a deep sleep into a stunningly beautiful new day. What a
My Lord.
Word.
Ooh. My Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Stanley. I just love this man. And may God rest his lovely soul. Proverbs 5:21-23. For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And when we
Amen.
Go to the life lesson for the fifth proverb, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. God is constantly watching over us, not noting our decisions, pondering our plans, observing our behavior, not primarily for judgment, but for blessing. He knows exactly what we need, and so he invites us to ask him for his counsel. We got to go to the throne and not to the phone. God wants to answer our requests. God wants to answer our questions. God wants to be right there in the midst because he loves us like that. We trust
Amen.
God. We believe in God. And we know that he's got us covered from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. God is in charge of everything. Loving God this morning. Trusting God this morning. Praying for those that are sick and shut in. Praying for those that are going through grief. It's just so much going on. On yesterday, I got a call about a mother killing her 14-year-old son. And the child had been a faithful member of his church, went to church. His dad took him to church every Sunday. The father and mother, I guess, shared custody. And when the mother was supposed to turn the child over to the father, couldn't find him. The mother and the child didn't show up. So the father called the police. And when they went to the house, they actually had a standoff with the mother who was not going to let him in. And they had to shoot her in her leg.
Oh, my goodness.
The child was found dead. And so we have to pray for our children. We have to pray for our elderly. We have to pray on a continuous basis. Jesus has taught us how to pray. He taught us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. And we must lift up those with mental illness because so many people are suffering. And we have to remember that. And so I reach out and I tell you, pray without ceasing. Meditate on the word of God. Because he's calling us for such a time as this. To pray, to lift up, to believe. New Hope Baptist Church, which is where Pastor Crawford had preached for so many, many years. And to Minister Shannon and her New Hope family in Wichita, Kansas. You know, Minister Shannon, we love you and we are praying for you because in both situations, these are people that were close to her. So we have to lift up our sisters and our brothers because we don't know what someone means to someone else. Keep God first in everything and watch him work in your life. And as we go to Matthew chapter 20, and I'll explain something as we get to the end because this place is in my spirit. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, a day, now I understand it, a denarius, a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went, and again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things. Is it not, lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is I evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, a few chosen. And I keep getting wakened sometimes between 3 and 5 in the morning. And it's like, I know it's God because I can go all day and not have any issues with pain or nerve pain in my hand.
But when God wakes me, he wakes me with nerve pain in my right hand. And as soon as I do what I'm told to do, pain is gone. So that's why I know it's God. And, wow. When you are chosen, God, I read a prophetic word was given that those that are waking between 3 and 5 in the morning to pray, to stand in the gap, to do what they do, God will give you a vision. I mean, I've written a whole program from a 3 a.m. call from God. He gave me the vision for everything. I mean, everything. And I'm waiting for a vision for something else I have to do. And I'm like, Lord, you know I got to get this done. I need a vision. And, you know, he hasn't given it to me. He's waking me up for prayer. And I've been praying every morning. Before I even get on this blog, God has been waking me up to pray and to pray for others, to pray for families, and giving me scripture to pray the Psalms mostly. And I say, you know, that's why I say, when you go to a psalm, the psalms pray for you. All you have to do is read them and take them to heart. David prayed on yesterday. In yesterday's psalm, we had prayer. And as you go through psalm, you have a prayer. And in the prayer on yesterday, it says, I have called upon you, but you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Psalm verse 6. You know, we got to look up, lift up, and give it to God because God is in charge of everything. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you are chosen to be an evangelist, evangelize. If you are chosen to be a minister, minister. If you are chosen to be a pastor, be a pastor. Whatever you are chosen to do, just do it. If you're chosen to teach and preach, teach and preach. Because God will give you what to say. We've got to trust in God because it is God that's in charge of our life. And as I went back into this word this morning, Dr. Stanley tells us, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is your eye evil because I'm good? Verse number 15. And it says, the Lord can and does distribute his gifts and his goodness as he wills. By definition, grace cannot be earned or deserved. So God is completely free to parcel out his favor ever he chooses. I can't complain because God gave somebody else a new car and I'm driving a beater. It's not my car. I can't covet after that. I can't covet after somebody's house. Somebody else may be able to pray better than I do. Well, Lord, I want to pray like them. That may not be my gift. And they may want to teach like I teach, but that may not be their gift. So we got to look at whatever God gives us is for us. Whatever God has for you is for you, and it's irrevocable. Nobody can take your gift but God. And we got to trust in him. As the children sang on Sunday, you did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. And we're going to leave it right here. Where are we leaving? Where is it right here? At the throne. We leave our sorrow. We leave our grief. We leave our problems. At the throne, we leave whatever it is. You got to give it to God. And how do you give it to God? In prayer. We got to pray. Prayer changes all kind of things. And I have to say, you know, on Sunday, our children were anointed on Saturday. They went to the altar. All of them were at that altar on Saturday. They were at the altar on Thursday, and they were anointed on Saturday by Pastor Jackson. And when they went forth on Sunday, I prayed over each and every child before they came up the steps. They were prayed over. And when when they went to that in front of the congregation, even the babies sang like they've been singing together for years. And when they called on fire, the fire of the Lord came in. I am still filled up 2 days later from Sunday. It was amazing. And we have to remember that when God is in it, there is no limit. Keep God first. Keep praying. It's all I guess I could say is keep praying for our children, for God to cover them, for God to keep them, Jesus, and pray for our senior citizens. God answers prayers. I've seen him do it, and I know he can. And I did not get a word from Sister Carolyn this morning, but I just want to say God has got us covered. So, you know, my scripture, I get a scripture every morning, a meditation word. And the word for this morning I will share with you, and it is this from Mark chapter 13, 33, New King James. Take heed, watch, and pray, but you do not know when the time is. So we pray, you know, be on guard, be on alert. You do not know when the time is. So that is a word from this morning. Have a timely Tuesday and a trust in the Lord Tuesday. Keep God first in everything that you do. Watch God work in your life. And again, please keep families in prayer as many go through. If there's anybody that God has put a word in your heart, now is the time to push that one on your phone. If you just have something that God wants you to say, if there's something you need us to pray with you over, whatever it may be, push the one on your phone. If you are listening on social media, the number to call is 213-933-597. You can also DM me at Minister B_TalksWord on Twitter, well, which is now called X. Or you can contact me on Instagram as well. So thank you, family. We do not have anyone that has a word or need prayer this morning. So Mother Valerie, it's a little early. We had about 7 minutes left, but we are going to go on out knowing that we are covered. Mother Valerie, you got something?
You know, I was looking at Matthew 20 and 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? The Lord can and does distribute his gifts and his goodness as he will. I don't think anybody should be jealous of another person's gift. Everybody have a gift. Some, you know, talked that before. Some have the gift of mercy, the gift of prophecy, the gift of giving, the gift of singing, the gift of teaching. My pastor teaches the young people. Pastor sings. She has the gift. Pastor Bridget has the gift of giving. Well, I'm not jealous because she can give, I might give $5 and she might give $100. And I'm thanking God that I can give $5. I don't have the spirit of jealousy because she might have 2 cars or a house and I live here in an apartment. I'm thankful. I'm thankful because God put a roof over my head. And this
Come
is what
now,
God
please.
Is me. We're not supposed to be jealous of what other people have. I mean, it's what God has given them. They have a gift. And just like Carolyn, she has a gift of singing. And when the children are singing, I'm not jealous because I can't sing, that I sound like I'm in a bathtub or a bathroom singing. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Some people have the gift of playing the piano. And when I sit there and listen to other people's gifts, it's to edify the church, the body. So don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. God gives gifts. And he gives gifts to all of us. Everybody got a gift. And you are to use your gift to edify the church, to help your brother or sister. If you have the gift of mercy or compassion, if you see a person crying and you can cry with them, like, oh, I'm just saying, don't be jealous. Be grateful. Be thankful in your heart that God has given you something. He's given you something. All of us have something where we can praise the Lord and sing to the Lord, even if it's not the way Pastor Bridget can do it. She has a beautiful, wonderful gift of giving, and she has a beautiful, wonderful gift of singing and praising, and I just and teaching. Oh, my God, if you had been with her Sunday, the Holy Ghost was all over her, and she was bringing forth the message. And I think I believe everybody could feel the Spirit because of the way the Spirit of God was on this young lady. I mean, she was really, you know, I was so grateful and thankful that I was at church Sunday. The young people, when they were singing in the Spirit. And it looked like people, you know, we could have stayed there all night when the Spirit is that high. When God is, we know God is with us every day, all the time, but look like at different times, the Spirit of God is just enormous. It's just so great. And it was on Pastor Bridges Sunday. It looked like she was teaching, she was weeping, and the children were singing. And, oh, it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to experience God in that manner. So don't be jealous of other people when they're coming forth. They're coming forth and teaching and preaching for God. And when we're doing something for God, just say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, because he's part of the body, and we're all part of each other. We are. We really are. So what affects you affects me, because we are all part of the body. The hand can't say to the feet, you know, that you're not part of the body, because the feet is part of the body. We're all part of the body of Jesus. Jesus is the head, and God is so good. I just want to say he's a good God, and he's good all the time. So the temperature is 39, and we're thankful for that, because maybe 2 weeks ago it was 12 below zero. It was cold out there, 12 below, and I stayed home. I didn't go anyplace. But today is 39, a little bit windy. But God is good. And tomorrow will be the last day of January, and we're going to go into February. It's amazing.
Amen.
How it just went by. Went by so quickly. This is tomorrow will be the last day of January. Can you imagine? I can only imagine.
I can only imagine.
He's good. I'm going to turn this back.
We will be sharing Sister Carolyn's word on tomorrow. Thank you so much, family, for joining Mother Valerie and I. We pray over you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and glorious day. Know that you are covered by the blood of Jesus, and that he loves you more than anything. Have a great day, family, and remember, so the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, chosen. You have been chosen to be covered by the blood. Thank God that you might have been last, but now you're first. Have a great day, family. It is. Mother Valerie, what is it?
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.